big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Plato Angelakis about being a real-life exorcist. The word demon, obviously, it gets thrown around far too frequently, especially on television shows. But when we're talking about a demon and its origins, are demons something that are literally, basically given an assignment from some greater evil character like a devil or Satan or something of that nature, and then they're out there and they are roaming and doing the bidding? Or could a demon be something that is literally created by the living inadvertently with negative energy, with negative intent, with negative things, and essentially it is just this ball of energy that somehow has some sort of consciousness to it that has been created by the negative acts of the living?
Yeah, I think you're correct in both those things.
Okay.
I think both exist. We've got the Satan who was cast out. And people like I want to just add to that. Some people say, well, I destroy demons. No, nobody destroys demons. God didn't destroy it. God cast it out. Jesus cast it out into the swine. No one destroyed it. He just cast it out. He just basically said, well, you don't want to be obedient. And, he cast out Satan. And he took 1/3 of the angels with him. They ultimately are angels. But because they're fallen angels, they are now called demons because they're deformed and, evil-looking because they're no longer taking the form of holiness. But they are, in their essence, they're angels. So they can act with angelic powers, and the 1/3 that were cast out came from all different levels, from Satan the highest, who say Michael took over, down to the lowest, right, of the minions. Mm-hmm. So they are out there. They are individuals. They're not like they are actual angels who are fallen, who are now called demons because they're no longer holy in that sense. They're not angelic holiness. They're demonic. Mm-hmm. They have an agenda to harm, to hurt God's creation and everything in it. So yeah, individually, in that sense, yeah, they are out there. They are out there as well, and they all have a separate agenda. One is might be geared towards a certain vice or something, or whatever. But they all have their own agenda. They have their own strengths. They have their own sort of weaknesses, and they all have their own name. That's why we say, tell me, demon, what is your name?
Yeah.
We want by knowing their name and knowing who they are and their identity, that puts authority, my authority over them, and that I now control them, and I can now cast them out because they've now given me their name, mm-hmm. which is what they're so they, yeah, they exist.
I also
believe that we also create the negative as well, because if you look at a microscope, you get the most powerful microscope. And at a subatomic level, look at your own skin, the table, the couch, anything, solid or whatever, liquid in it. Like, you'll see that nothing is solid. This is scientifically proven. Even us, I might touch your hand and you might feel it solid to some degree, a little spongy maybe, or a table's a little more harder. But they're just fast moving atoms. We are actually not actually solid. Nothing on this planet is solid. It's all moving very quickly that appears solid or touches, felt to be solid. But nothing is solid. We are all pure energy, just moving very quickly. So we have our chakras. We have all our energy. See, now I've gone into beyond the religious, and I accept like the Reiki stuff and all the crystal work and all the energy work and all the empaths and all the things. Like, I accept that, you know, as being a valid thing. I don't practice those things, but I accept them and I acknowledge that they exist, and people who know how to use them, mm-hmm. use them effectively. Basically, it's basically a transference of energy. So, like, for example, Reiki is a good example. You know, someone who's a Reiki worker can take your seven chakras, you know, your head chakra, your abdomen, you know, your heart chakra, all your energies in your body, and shift them. Do a transference, move them out, move them in, like, mm-hmm. you know, move them around. You know, it's so, if we're able to do that, and know we and with our thoughts and with our energy, we create, you know, negative,
yeah,
intent. You know, you say karma. It's called, what we call it, karma, I guess. Really, you know, you put it out there, it comes back. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah. So I do believe that we do create energy. You know, and to what extent? Well, it all depends on how much you actually you put into it. But yeah, I do believe in both.
Sure.
I believe there's actual demonic, angelic sort of entity with a name and a purpose that was created by God, that hasn't fallen, didn't cast out, has an agenda, is out to sort of harm you. And I also believe that people will create positive and negative energies based on frequencies and whatnot. And that's all been scientifically shown to be able to do. So I believe both that does exist. So again, you know, we can go into a home and we can remove that something that's there. We can have a ghost who's now bodiless, but really a ball of energy who is perhaps stuck in limbo that needs to move, basically transfer, move on to the next journey in that life that God wants to create, right? That entity, that soul.
Yeah.
Right? And then of course, people will put negative in their own homes, they're negative in their own families, in their own selves, even with themselves.
Let me ask you this. When we were talking earlier about when you have authority over a demon because you know its name, and that gives you the authority to cast it out or to make demands upon it. This has always been a very interesting point to me, and I'd love to ask you this question, is what exactly is it that gives you as a living person suddenly this authority by knowing its name to command it to do something? And here's where I'm coming from, because these things are doing some pretty powerful things to the living, to the environment and things of that nature. Why is it, what is it that suddenly, you know, just knowing a name and stating a name in a command, suddenly that's like the end all be all, and that can really have authority? To me, you know, without knowing the answer to the question, it seems kind of like, well, why does it just not tell you its name then? Why does knowing its name suddenly hold that level of power?
Well, it's more of a confirmation that you are a demon.
Okay.
I call it Saint Michael the Archangel defend me, you know, or Saint Gabriel help me, Saint Christopher help me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm calling out to a saint or to an angel, you know, or Holy Mother of God help me. You know, I'm calling out specifically to an actual someone, right?
Yeah.
To help me. So in like my manner, I won't know that this is a demon. So I don't know. I mean, for example, here's the Annabelle, you know about the Annabelle doll, right?
Of course.
The Annabelle doll, which I've touched and I've moved and I'm quite versed with it. I know it's down in Connecticut. I work with the Warren, so I used to do the blessing in the occult museum. You know, that doll was given authority because, you know, a couple of nurses got this doll as a gift, and you know, they was there was some movement, there was some activity. The girls called in a psychic. They did a seance, and the psychic was speaking to something to someone who appeared to be a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and said, "Oh yeah, I died here, and you know," and the girls felt compassionate. Well, you're welcome to come into the doll, and we'll take care of you and all that. And basically, it was a demon hiding as a child. So by me asking, you know, what is your name? And I get the actual name. I don't want to say any names, because again, by me calling out the name, if I call out, you know, a demonic demon's name, an actual demon's name, okay, then by calling his name, even now, like talking to you, if I actually say the name out loud, I'm actually giving it consent to appear.
Sure.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
So we're told, do not say the names.
Yeah.
So by me saying, okay, you know, tell me your name, demon, I command you. It's not me who asks, it's God who's commanding you. I want to know your name.
Okay.
Then I force it to tell me, yes, I am so-and-so, and I'm this particular demon. Now I know who you are, you know, and I know who you, demon, and I cast you out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I I've exposed you kind of thing. I've exposed you because these demons like to lie. They always lie.
Mm-hmm.
They love to lie. They love to fool people. So by getting their name, I have that authority to say, okay, now I know who you are now.
Do they ever not give their name? Do they ever just know that? Because if they give their name, they know that you're giving, that they're granting you authority essentially to use it against them.
Exactly. But I can still cast it out without knowing their name.
Okay.
I can still do it. What I normally do is I empower the person to actually, like, I mean, usually the woman or the man that I'm exercising at the time, I say, you know, I prepped them before this. And I say to them, well, you know, I get them to start saying, I want you gone. I want you gone. And I've given back her free will. And she, with her free will, is now telling you to go. So you must go because her free will supersedes. You know, that's God's number one rule. So her free will, now that it's being given back to her, she can now, and then my last case in New Jersey was just like that. I got her to repeat, you know, no, I want you gone. Go away from me. I want you out of here. I want you gone. So it's like her telling the demon, you know, I'm empowering the person that, you know, she's telling the thing to leave. You don't want to tell me the name? No problem. I don't need to. I just know now that I know you are,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. But, you know, I have to understand how, like, I always go through, like, you know, like all priests and bishops and cardinals and whatever, and even the Pope, whatever, we all have what's called apostolic succession. So I can go back and trace my lineage, like to the priesthood,
mm-hmm.
of the bishop who laid his hands on me, who laid his hands on him, and passing on whatever, you know, of that ordination, right? I can go back, and I'm attached to the Apostle James. So Jesus said, you know, as the Father has sent me, in other words, as God has given me everything that God gave to me, I give to you. And that's in scripture. So as the Father sent me, I sent you, and you will do greater things than I. So, you know, basically everything that Christ did, because it was given to him by the Father, gave it to his apostles. And then his apostles went out there and started ordaining people. So basically everything that Christ received, I received.
Okay.
And when Christ had to do his first exorcism with Legion, you know, he says, you know, who are you? We are Legion. You know, was the name. He says, well, I cast you out. Go into the swine. Then he killed the swine. And of course, the demons had to go back to hell. So, you know, it was, but you know, even Christ asked, you know, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are Legion. We are many, was what was the response. Okay. And then with that, he said, well, are you, you know, actually they begged him, don't send us back. He said, well, and go to the swine. You know, and he sent him out of the man into the pigs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the pigs ran into the water and drowned themselves. You know, and you know, so you know, it was still. It's just that way of authority. You know, it's just knowing is knowledge, and knowing is power. So you know, if you know who you're dealing with, you know, if I get that I'm dealing with Satan, then I'm going to approach that as Satan. You know, if I don't get a name, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, I'm going to keep at it. But at some point, it will relieve its name. It has to. It will fight you because it's the most guarded secret. Because it wants to lie to you. Well, you know, in the angelic world, they don't say, hey, I'm Gabriel. I'm bringing you a message from God. You know, it's free. You know, it's night. It's open. It's not a secret. For these guys, they're a secret. They're fallen angels, and they have an identity. They have a name. They have a purpose. They have an agenda. They have a character. They're all individuals. Some stronger than others, but yet individuals. And by knowing their name, you take an authority over them. And that's part of the ritual. That's why that ritual is performed. And it's not me who's asking. It's never me. It's like I say, it's not I who I'm asking. It is God who commands you. It is Christ who commands you. It's the Holy Ghost who commands you. Give me your name, demon, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, when you tell them, be silent, because they'll talk to you. They'll say, you know, they'll start screwed out all kinds of things. Like I've had people with me. I had a male and a female that wanted to follow me into a case some time back, way back, and said, sure, you want to come in, whatever. Again, another learning experience, which I had learned my lesson, you know. Sure. You know, not, my lesson was now I bring people who are prepared. Then we went in, and this thing started spilling out, like, you know, looked at the man and said, you know, does your boss know you're cheating, or you're cheating about money? And looks at the woman and says, you know, does your husband know you're having an affair? So it knows your secrets, right? Mm-hmm. It knows your stuff. So they ran out. You know, so again, they were not prepared. I should have known better to bring someone who was not prepared. Again, I learned, right? I learned from these cases. Now going forward, I bring people who are prepared, who are strong, who are blessed. We always meet together. We do a thorough investigation. We do a thorough blessing on each other. If anybody has any issues at home, they don't go. You know, I pick my team really appropriately. That's what makes me effective, because now I'm prepared. I know what their tactics are, so I know how to plan my attack, right? You know, on that person to make it successful. Because ultimately, that's really what I want. I want this thing to go away. I want this person to be liberated. But mind you, having said that, you know, it doesn't stop there. I may go in there and actually liberate somebody, but the journey for that individual starts right there. That's just the start. I'm not a quick fix.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Plato Angelakis. A big thank you to him for joining us on the program and sharing his real-life experiences with us. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for the support of The Grave Talks.